This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. In a speech last night, President Bush highlighted the need for Iraqis to take greater responsibility in securing their own country. That puts more pressure on American-trained Iraqi police, civil defense forces, and soldiers. They're the ones who would take the place of U.S. troops. But many have walked off the job, refused orders, or deserted. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports on the effort to improve their performance.
At the Al Bayah police station in southwest Baghdad, nearly 70 suspected thieves, carjackers, and a few murderers are crammed into one large jail cell. The inmates lie on thin pads on the cement floor, not beds. That's because when the station was attacked by a devastating suicide car bomber last fall, many Iraqi police, or IPs, fled, and inmates were able to bash their way out with metal bed parts. Sergeant Michael Pentecost, with the 545th Military Police Company, is a U.S. Army liaison to this Iraqi station.
When the bomb went off, it was chaos around here, so a lot of IPs took off, and the prisoners were left to their own means. So a lot of them, they took their beds apart and beat the locks off the jail and tried to escape.
Many inmates did escape. 13 months into the U.S.-led occupation, many of Iraq's American-trained police remain underprepared, undermanned, and often outgunned.
They need weapons, they need bullets. If no, they can do nothing.
This Iraqi, we'll call him Ali, has been a liaison to the U.S. military at the Al Bayah station for almost a year. The station comes under semi-regular mortar fire, and Iraqi street patrols often face small arms ambushes. Ali says Iraqi police officers continue to brave these dangers despite a lack of vital equipment.
They are good. I tell you that. They are good. They don't complain about that. But always they said, we need, nobody give them nothing.
Ali then points to a young officer walking toward his new U.S.-funded patrol car.
Look at him. He haven't uniform. He haven't boots. He haven't badge. You know, how he can go to work? It means we send him for somebody kill him. No cover to him. The U.S. government must help the IPs now.
U.S. soldiers tasked with overseeing the growth of a new Iraqi police force complained privately that frustrating bureaucratic contract snafus with the CPA, the U.S. administration here, have stalled delivery of essential equipment to Iraqi security forces. Lieutenant Edgar Brown, with the 1st Cavalry's 545th MP Company, says only that they're now trying to teach Iraqis to eventually take the lead in supplying themselves.
We're getting the supply system set up where things come through Iraqi channels rather than me just driving in here and giving them a truckload of bullets. That's an important step.
It's still not clear when Iraqi forces will be ready to assume the lead in their own security. That date keeps getting pushed back. U.S. officials admit that both training and the crucial element of integrating new troops with allied forces were inconsistent at best across Iraq. Now, after months of setbacks, including wide-scale desertions in April during the uprising by Shiite militiamen, the monumental task of improving U.S. recruiting, training, and vetting of Iraqi security will soon be in the hands of Lieutenant General David Petraeus. The former commander of the 101st Airborne says key upgrades should include a stronger Iraqi command structure and closer day-to-day contact with coalition troops.
They do include good Iraqi security force leadership. They include good local Iraqi political leadership. Most important of all, at this time, a very firm embrace, very close cooperation and support from the local coalition forces. That is a critical element in all of this.
In some cases, that could mean Iraqis live, eat, and train with U.S. and allied forces in order to forge closer working ties. But that increased cooperation also means heightened risk for Iraqis who join up. On a hilltop outside the northern city of Mosul, Iraqis practice clearing rooms in a series of fake buildings made out of giant sand barriers. These trainees for the Iraqi Civil Defense Corps, or ICDC, sport brand new AK-47s and long black masks to cover their faces. This U.S. military instructor didn't want his name used.
These guys, their families live very close by, and so if word gets out, and that's why you'll see some of them have masks on, you know, if word gets out, you know, exactly where we're doing this, it could be pretty dangerous.
Let's go, lock and load.
Abdel Mahzan.
At a dusty shooting range, ICDC recruits practice on paper targets stuck on wooden boards in the dirt. This stocky 30-year-old Iraqi, who identified himself only as Abu Salah, says he needed the work, but he also points to loftier reasons for joining.
We are never scared, and I have a family, and I have a wife and kids. I'm doing this just for them and for the whole country, for the whole people of Iraq. So we are ready to sacrifice our souls, our bodies for the country.
The Pentagon hopes to soon boost the size of the Civil Defense Corps to around 40,000. But just when those 40,000 will actually be ready to conduct operations and be effective remains uncertain. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Baghdad.